We've done some good things this year. God has really blessed us. We got some great people. If I start naming families, I'll probably miss one of our new converts, and how that you have helped to take care of them, and how that you've been with them, and they are sticking with us. And hallelujah, isn't that right? Aren't we glad? Amen? Aren't we glad? Okay, and so isn't it wonderful? And so what we want to do is to share some other things that will even help us some more. And things will be so wonderful and so good because we have been bound together even greater that you're going to want to go and get all your friends. And your friends are going to want to come. And then there will be more that will want to come into the body of Christ here in Henderson, Texas. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about closing the back door. One more thing let me share with you before I do that. Next Sunday night, March the 5th, there will be a prayer session for the campaign in the evening. So please come. Please come back and let's share in the importance of prayer and asking God to bless our campaign and each of the workers and the guys as they come to us. The families, one family is going to be coming as far as Tennessee, another one from Midland, and they will be helping us to also train the guys. Closing the back door. You know, while growing up on the farm, I can remember from time to time there in South Texas when I'd go out the door and perhaps I would leave the door open and Mom or Dad would say to me, "Close the back door. Were you born in a barn?" Did y'all hear that? Remember all the flies and things and the animals we have in South Texas. Close the back door. Oh. But you know, if we do not close the back door for the church, I'm talking spiritually now, regardless of how many we come in, how many come in the front door or the side door, especially those who are pioneers, in other words, those who are become members of the body of Christ for the first time, none of their family are part of the body of Christ, and they're the only ones, especially the pioneers. If we do not close the back door, then they will be gone. And so what we have to do during this campaign and the rest of the time together is that we want to close the back door. Let me remind you that friendship is the best lock for that back door. I tell you what, Gorilla Glue is not better than friendship. Gorilla Glue is strong, but it's not as strong as friendship. That is the best lock that we can have. Friendship and bonding with each other and with our new brothers and sisters in Christ. And so therefore, you and I want to tighten the friendship, and that's merely my purpose this morning. There are at least 25 passages in the Bible that will talk about one another. Love one another. Do not judge one another. And if you look at all of these 25 passages, what he's trying to do for us is to bring us closer together. One of these days, take your Bible and look the one another passages up and begin to read them and share with your family. As we begin this morning, let me first of all remind you, I want you to think about some things. 75% in a survey that was made, have been church attenders. They have left because they were either inactive or they did not have a sense of belonging. We've got to make our new brothers and sisters in the Lord feel like that they belong here, that they're wanted here, and that we have a place for them to go to work and praise and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as people like use the pronouns, like say for instance, they or theirs or yours, I hope that we're not using these pronouns in regard to the campaign. Well, that's Jim's campaign. Or that's Travis's campaign. Or that's Tom's campaign. You know, they're doing this. Or they're doing that. But I hope it's our campaign. Let's come together. Let's work together. I know that you will. Because you've done it in the past. But what I'm trying to get us to do is to increase. Let's get a greater love. A greater bond as we work together with each other. There are a lot of lonely people today sitting in church pews. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about throughout all of the world. A lot of lonely people. And I'm saying to you this morning that they're thinking, am I really needed here? Where do I fit in? Can I develop friends in this church? Will these people take me in? Will they receive me? And will they love me? You know, it hasn't been too long that I was asking the question about you. When Donna and I came, we wanted to know, well, are they going to receive us? Or will this old South Texas boy just be shoved right on out the back door. And guess what? You have accepted me, I think. I hope you have. I feel that way. And it's good to be with you. But you see, there's going to be others. They'll be prettier than I am. They'll be handsomer than I am. And probably sweeter than I am. So let's get ready, because we never know what we're going to receive and how wonderful they really can be and how much they can really contribute to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let's get ready. In Proverbs 17, verse 17, the writer says, a friend loves at all times. And in Proverbs 27, verse 10, he said, better is a neighbor who is nearer than a brother who is far away. You know, I've got a wonderful neighbor. Bobby Whitehead. What a great guy. And you know, if he catches me out doing something that he feels like this old man oughtn't to be doing it, he'll come out there and he'll say, Jim, Mr. Jim. He always called me Mr. Jim. I said, Bobby, I'm Jim. No, you're Mr. Jim. He'll say, Mr. Jim, move out of the way and let me do that. You oughtn't to be doing that. You know what? What a great blessing it is to have a neighbor, to have a friend. And that's what we want to do. We want to bond together so that if somebody needs help here or there, we are there to help. And so we want to bond. We want to bond so tight. Let me, in this scenario, in these statistics, let me share with you how important it is to close the door. We're going to have church, say for instance, A and B. And let's say both of them have 125. And what they're wanting to do is they're wanting to go up to 250. And so, as they begin, another fact about them is that Church A, out of 10, it keeps 3. church B out of 10, it will keep 5. Now remember that what's happening is they're wanting to grow to 250. Well, look at church B. Church A, I'm sorry. In order for them to get to 250, what they're going to have to do is to receive in 417 new converts. Church B, in order to get to 250, they will have to have 125 new converts. Now, watch it. Because in the statistics, as we look at the statistics, what's going to happen is that Church A will lose out of that 417, they will lose 292 out the back door. What was their goal? 250. And so they're going to lose out the back door a number of good that is even greater than what their goal was. Do you see the importance of working together? Church B, if you look at it, they will have 250 new members in order to gain the 250. They had 125, and if they keep 5, if they keep half, then they'll have another 125, but they will lose 125. Now, the statistics are not so bad as when you look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 21. That is the kicker. Because we're not talking actually about numbers, but we're talking about souls. Every number represents a soul. And in 2 Peter it says, "For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in them, and they are overcome, the last state becomes worse for them than the first." Do you see that? If one has learned the gospel, and they go back into the world, it is worse for them than if they had not even heard the gospel. Let me share with you. How many of you have lost your fathers? I'm not asking for a show of hands, but how many have lost your fathers? What he's saying to us is that if you and I go back into the world, that we will be separated from our Heavenly Father. If you've ever lost your father, you will know how important it is and how much it hurts and how much you have a desire of wanting to see your father today. Amen? Oh, so many times I want to talk to my father. Dad got Alzheimer's. We had planned that we were going to get to work together and that I would be retiring and that we could work together in evangelism and in spreading the gospel. And Alzheimer's got him. And I lost him. And today I think about, oh, it's Dad. I catch myself from time to time. Oh, Dad, if I could just visit with you. Think about that when we lose the blessing of being with our Father, and then he talks about something that is even greater than that. I can't imagine What would be greater than that? Can you die of losing your father? Brothers and sisters, we talked about statistics, but we also talked about souls. Let's not lose one soul. Let's be ready to go and to beg and to plead and to pray and to ask and to say, I'm sorry. And if I need to, say, I'm wrong. But let's get every soul we can into the kingdom of God. Hello? Now, why are we losing members out the back door? Let's think about why some are going out the back door. Number one, I want to suggest to you that some are going out the back door because there's a greater emphasis on part one of the Great Commission, and that's the evangelistic part. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And what's happened to us is that we have placed so much greater emphasis on it, and it needs to have a great emphasis on it. But what's happened is we have neglected to place emphasis on part two, which it means to make disciples of them. And so what we are doing is we are training and we are helping people to understand how to go out and teach the gospel and bring people into the Lord. But what happens to us is that we're not training our teachers. We're not training our mentors. We're not training our people that's going to help in closing the back door. And so what we have to do is to stop and spend some time helping those who are going out the back door. And so let's tonight stop and think about God's nursery. Come be with us. Be sure that you come tonight. And be with us as we look at God's nursery. As we think about unbalanced emphasis, look at this ad. Remember this ad? How many of you remember the ad? For NyQuil, isn't it? And what's happening is the dad says to the little boy, so Dave, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I gotta take a sick day tomorrow. You see, we've got a bond with them. Because they are new babes in Christ. And they don't know. And if we don't bond and we take a sick day tomorrow, then they're gone. And we've lost them. You see, assimilation begins right at the heart of our need for relationships. Assimilation means very simply, I'm going to accept and I'm going to bond with those who may not be like me, may not be the same color, may not be of the same class, may not even talk like me. But I'm going to bond with them and we are going to become one. And so let's place emphasis on our bonding together and let's take and let's mend ourselves together. In his book, The Great Commission, Part 2, the writer gives case after case of people who were greatly encouraged to become members by a number of people, but after 4 to 6 months were dumped like a hot potato. I hope that none of our new converts feel like they have been left alone, feel like that they have been dropped, but that we still love them and we want them and we are part of them and we are going to hug them and we're going to love them and help as much as we can. The importance of bonding. Why do people go back out? Because of the bonding and the lack of bonding. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 4 through verse 8, Paul is talking to us about working together. In verses 9 through verse 21, he talks about not mistreating each other, but that we consider the best of one another as we work together in the Lord's kingdom. And so people go out the back door because there's been a failure to feel that bond between them and God's people. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 through verse 47. And you and I will see a great sense of bonding there. You see, they had all things in common, did they not? And they were willing to sell their goods in order that they could help one another. In spite of all the joy and all the excitement in the early church, there were those who were screamed out. Take your Bible, look at your Bible, Acts chapter 6. And who do we have that feel like that they were screened out? Was it not the Hellenistic widows? Look at, say, for instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And who feels like they've been screened out? But is it not the poor? If you look in Galatians chapter 5, who is it that feels like they've been screened out? Is it not the uncircumcised gentleman? You see, they had their problems then. They had concerns then. And it's been written so that you and I will be ready. And that we will be watching. So that no one feels screened out. My buddy Zacchaeus. I told you I would talk to you more about him later. This is my buddy Zacchaeus. Remember, Jesus will go home with Zacchaeus. And they'll point at him. And say, he eats and associates with sinners. My buddy here, Zacchaeus. Actually, Phil is his name. He was screened out. Look at his head. Do you not see it shaved? As you look at his head, do you not see that there are flames of fire and tattoos of different colors? Oh, they were, I mean, whoever did the tattoo, you did a good job. And there are different colors. On that shaved head. And he'd love to get on the motorcycle. And he'd get on that and he would just tear it up. Oh, he loved it. And as he'd go through there, you'd see the flames of fire in his head. Down the road. I studied with his wife for 7 years. Kim had had an aneurysm. And they had to open up her head, go into her brain. And they were able to correct the aneurysm. And she lived. The only problem with her was that it took her a long time and you would have to tell her something about 7 or 8 times. But once she got it, she had it. And she wouldn't let go. And I stuck with her for 7 years. Seven, you never give up. Hello? Are you with me? I'm talking about something now important. You never give up. He would never be in the room with us. He would be in the next room, but he would never come to the table with us. And one day, years, Phil got up one Sunday morning and said to Kim, "I'm going to church with you today." Why, she almost fell through the floor. "You're going with us today? Come on." She brought him to our class, and we had a class by the title of Growing in Christ. They were all new converts except for their mentors. Their mentors were in the class with them, but they were not permitted to say anything to correct them. Because you know why? They would correct each other. And so he would come to class. He came 3 times. He looked, and we had a badge on. It gave our name and that we were a member of the Granbury Church. And he looked over and he said, "How do I get that?" And we said to him, "You got to be a member." He said, "What does it take?" He said, "Studying the Word and doing what God wants you to do." He said, "When do I do it?" "You can do it right now." He said, "Okay, let's go. Let's get on with it. Run up your clock. I'm ready." They took him in, and they studied with him. And he obeyed the gospel that morning. But within 3 to 4 months, he was screened out. And the reason he was screened out is because he liked it. And those flames of fire. Not only that, but he had all of the trinkets. And if you look at him, look at his eye. What does he have? A little teardrop. He stayed gone. He stayed gone for about 3 weeks. And Phil came back. And he came up to me and he said to me, he said, "I'm not going to let them keep me from my Jesus." And I said to him, I said, "Phil, you're right. Don't let them. Don't let them keep you from Jesus. Don't let them screen you out. Because God loves you." And you know what? He never left again. Until we were in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He had had a wreck on the motorcycle about 3 months prior to us going to Chattanooga for the campaign. And he thought he was all right, and everybody else thought he was all right. and then something hit him. And he died in the Lord. We can't let that happen. You see, assimilation means that we are going to take in, we're going to be like Paul. Because Paul says, I'm going to become all things to all men that none will be lost. Hello? Brothers and sisters, there will be some of them that's hard to love. They'll not all be like Jean and Viviana and Alondra and all the rest of you. There will be some that's going to be difficult to love. But we can't screen them out. We've got to love them anyway. Hello? We got to stay with them. My buddy Zacchaeus. Brothers and sisters, the importance of bonding can be seen from a statement from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Listen to what he says. He says, sin demands to have a man by himself. It withdraws him from the community. And the more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him. Boy, the devil wants us to gets us out by ourselves, does he not? Oh, if he can just get us out by himself. By herself. The great sequoias in California. They'll get about 250 feet tall. That's about 20 stories. But the roots will only go about 4 feet down. That's all. Do you know how that they withstand the storms and the winds that come from California? You see, they all live in a clump. And the roots intertwine with each other. And they help each other. So that they will not be destroyed and the winds will not blow them over. And that's what I'm trying to say to us this morning. Let's support one another. I'd like to really, I don't know what time it is. I may have already spent all my time, but I'm trying to say this morning, let's bond together, let's help each other. And some of the ways to do that is going to be in our small groups of helping each other. I've been against this all my life until about the last year or two. And now I'm seeing how that God can work in them and that He can help us as we bond together and as we help each other. And as you listen to me, and I listen to you, and as we help each other, brothers and sisters, I want you to go away. I'm not through, but we're going to stop because I don't know what time it is. And I don't want to keep you too long because I want to preach to you again. And I really want to preach to you tonight. This morning, I've done some things with you that are different than what I normally do. But I'm going to stop right here. Peyton, get ready, Bubba. Now, are you in the audience this morning? And you're not a Christian? We're looking for people to love on. We're looking for people to bond with. We're looking for people who want to feel at home. We're looking for people who want to be involved. We're not going to beat you up. We're really going to love on you. If you let us. This morning, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through verse 4, it will tell us that Jesus went to the cross, but the cross could not hold him. And the good news, the wonderful gospel is that our sins can be forgiven and we can come out of the grave because of what he's done. Now you can obey that gospel. If you look in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 through verse 6, it talks to us how that you and I can reenact that gospel of his death, burial, and his resurrection. And that that gospel can come into our life. And you and I can be baptized into Jesus Christ and reenact that gospel that Paul and Peter and all of them preached. And we can be just like them and we can have the same spiritual DNA that they had. Because it's going to be the same blood that cleanses us. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you can obey the gospel this morning if you're not a child of God. Let me encourage you to be, or if you have been away from your family and you need to come back home. We want you to come back home. We want to love on you. Please come and bond with us. Please come help us serve Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior. Will you not come as together we stand and as we sing?